Good morning. Happy resurrection celebration. Happy season. All right. So yes, we know it's a season, a period chosen, you know, to remember, then to celebrate, right? The death, burial, resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, we all know he really didn't die in April, and then it's been prayer chosen, and that's wonderful. All right, so whilst this ought to be our daily mindset, all right, we ought to do this, you know, this is our life, this is, you know, what got us born again. It's that understanding. All right, it's all right to have a season. We know it should be every day. We know it ought to be every day. Someone out there would need that season to reconnect, and however else God could use it as a blessing. All right, so welcome, you know, to this morning's edition of Morning Faith Boost, your morning energizer, morning refresher. I am entering a very interesting topic this morning, and so I tried to, you know, instead of the episode 14 that we should be on, I retitled Power of Meditation so that maybe someone listening in later, you could easily find it. So let me know what you think about that, so that you know, we might, you know, tweak the older titles too, so they're easily found, you know. So if anybody comes back here to search for old messages, so hey, you're welcome. Great week, great season. I believe that over the weekend you would have had your minds refreshed, you know, and renewed where necessary. You know about the power, you know, the resurrection power, the importance of resurrection, you know, the blessings, the benefits, you know. And then for some of us, maybe you've fallen in love with Jesus all over again, appreciating, you know, much more what he's done for you, you know, how he's done it, you know, and then just all of that. So praise God. So allow me just leave you with this worship by Dr. Juanita Bynum for the next few minutes, and then I'll be right back. Praise God.
Hands in can tell him this all day. There is no one
else like you. Oh, hallelujah. Yep, yep, yep. There is nobody else. Nobody else like our dear Lord Jesus. No, nobody else. No one. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yes, I know it's readily maybe coming to some of our minds. Oh, but Bible says, as he is, so are we. Yes. Yes, you're very correct. As he is, so are we. But none of us is a firstborn, all right? He's the firstborn amongst many brethren, the firstborn from the dead. So he still has his undisputable spot, okay? All right, it's in him we find our own identity. So we are the ones privileged to sit with him, share with him. Of course, he did all that because of us. So nobody's still like him. He's still him. All right, we are in him. We are with him. We are, you know, having our lives, you know, come from him and all of that. Praise God. Amen. So I said this morning we're beginning a brand new series of power of meditation. This is super, so, you know, important. This is, you know, so important, you know. And it's very, very necessary we understand this topic vitally, you know, as believers. Many of us might be used to the word meditation, you know, maybe hanging around people who do some level of exercise, yoga, you know, maybe you've read it in books, and then it sounds like something from Asia, you know, Chinese, Japanese, you know. But meditation is God's idea. Meditation is it's all over God's word, whether clearly stated or, you know, indirectly referred to. It's all over scripture, as in like Genesis all the way through the epistles. It is in the Bible. All right, the believer has to understand the importance of this. The believer has to understand the benefits of this. And then those are things that matter to us, because this is it. So by way of meditation, I mean by way of definition rather, what is the meaning of meditation? It means to mutter and to ponder. That means to mutter, to speak quietly and softly to yourself. To speak quietly, to mutter, and then to ponder. That's to think, all right? To think deeply. So imagine us putting those two together, those two powerful things together. Then you speak quietly while you're thinking deeply. You speak quietly while you're thinking deeply. Remember what one of the things we said last week, right? Through undivided attention, we're able to absorb revelation, all right? So you think, you speak. I know your mind now might quickly flash to Joshua 1:8, and that will be very correct. So God tells Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of where? Yep, your mouth. This book of the law will not depart out of your mouth. You would meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. We have the whole week, so I'm just going to move poco a poco, all right? So it's just for us to understand today the importance, actually. The importance. But the whole series, as I titled, The Power of Meditation. So today, we'll deal largely with the importance and then maybe a bit of the understanding of it. So meditation is God's own idea, right? Strictly God's idea. We find in Genesis chapter 1. Now this is inferred, all right? In Genesis chapter 1, Bible tells us, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. Then God said, now when the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water, the word move there means to brood, also means to hover, to brood. To hover, also to flutter, all right? The way a bird could flutter wings, you know, just fluttering, all right? So we get fluttering there, we get to brood there, we get to hover, all right? So you find a bird also hovering over a landing area, still hovering. But I especially like the word brood, all right? Brood, like the way a mother hen sits on top of eggs to incubate, all right? to find those three words coming out of that, you know, one word, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So he fluttered upon the face of the waters. He hovered upon the face of the waters. Was brooding upon the face of the waters. I believe this entire process of the Spirit moving upon the face of the water, God solidified, as it were, his clear intent for the earth. You know, when you think through before you now find it, because the next thing that came after the Spirit moving was God spoke. God spoke, and let there be light. There was light. All right, God sees the light and says, this light is good. And each thing God did and each move God made in Genesis 1, we find the Bible saying that it was good. It was good. Good is a comparative statement. I mean, he said, oh, good, in that it fits perfectly with what I had pictured. It fits perfectly with what I had envisioned. It fits perfectly with what I have imagined. So God understands that. Now, so, but this is us trying to just lay in, you know, an introduction. But let's move away from God. Like I said, this is inferred, but let's move to actual. The importance of meditation. You find in God dealing with Abraham and needing for Abraham to understand that he will have children, and the power of him having children, or the reality of him eventually having children, God gave him three lines. Number one, God said, your children will be as numerous as the sand on the seashore. That's God helping Abraham to picture. Helping Abraham to picture. Your children will be as numerous as the sand on the seashore. Abraham gets the gist. Sand, 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 sand. Abraham gets the gist. God also told Abraham, all right, next line, as the stars, all right? So Abraham looks at the stars, and I mean, Abraham sees stars like every night. They leave in tents, it comes out every evening, sits out, however he does it, he looks up. So Abraham in the day sees sand clearly. Abraham at night sees the stars clearly. Abraham in the day sees the sand clearly. At night, he sees the stars clearly. Then the clincher, really, really the clincher, God changed his name. Right, God moved his name from Abram, which is exalted father. God moved him to Abraham, which is a father of multitudes, a father of many nations. So God is working on pictures in the mind of Abraham. We'll deal with this very well from tomorrow. But God is working on pictures. Right? You see that meditation is God's own idea. God's own idea. So it was how God taught Abraham how to believe or receive a child. The sand, the stars, the change of name. The sand, the stars, the change of name. All right? Because Abraham was relating with God. Abraham was talking to God. But one thing that happens is the child of God, every child of God must understand the place of prayer. You must also then understand the place of meditation. All right? You do not give to prayer what belongs to the renewal of mind. I said a bit of this last week, how that you could get a few people together, maybe someone, you know, trying to get a job. And then, you know, you pray a prayer of agreement with the person. Now, the power of the prayer of agreement, all right, the plus is also the minus. What do I mean? It's a prayer of agreement. All right. So most people say, oh, I believe in the prayer of agreement, but they miss the fact that because it is a prayer of agreement, that plus, the agreement, is also the minus. Meaning, if we disagree on the thing we agree on, we just scatter the prayer because it is a prayer of agreement. So you pray, you know, someone says, I want a job, I want a job, I want a job. Please agree with me in prayer, okay? So then you agree in prayer. Haven't agreed in prayer. The person 2-3 days later is saying, oh, I just wonder why I can't even get a good job. I can't even get a decent job. No job is coming my way. The person is disagreeing with the prayer. All right, you go to the hospital to pray for someone, you know, and then you're quick to say, well, in the name of Jesus, I declare you're healed, you're healed. The person right there is lying down and saying, I'm tired of this pain. I'm tired of what I'm going through. I just want to die. There is no agreement. So very many times we pray too quick. We pray too soon, because while we're trying to pray and speak words from our mouth, we need to understand that the words from our mouth must align with the thoughts in our hearts. I'll say that again. The words from our mouth must align with the thoughts in our heart. I'll do you a verse or a portion of scripture so we understand how this thing works. So let's quickly run to James chapter 1. You know, James, you know, by the Holy Ghost, is revealing something very important to us. So James 1 from verse 5 says, if any man or anyone amongst you, any one of you, lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Verse 6 is very, 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 very important. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea being driven and tossed. 7 equally important. Let not that man think that he will receive anything from God. Verse 8, the finisher. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So I'll pick 6, 7, and 8. Let him, whoever needs wisdom, same for whoever needs whatever it is, all right? So apply this to other things. So I'm saying we're quick to pray. And then our words are quick to come out of our mouths. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hold on. The words of your mouth must be solidly aligned with the thoughts of your heart. It's the law of faith. Faith has to be in two places, in your mouth and in your heart. So words are quick to be released, but the heart must be established. The heart must be solid. If you've ever come across Ken Hagin's 7 Steps to Answered Prayer, he explains the place of meditation even after you've prayed. Right? That after you've prayed the prayer, still stay with the word. Because doubt will come. Things, you know, there might be delay and you need to be solid. You know, so we find many believers being quick to pray, but not understanding that Jesus himself said in John 15, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you would ask what you will, it will be done. So there's the importance of meditation, the importance of solidifying our heart. If it was just words of prayers, you know, words alone, you know, popular Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 says, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or imagine. All right. So that means the place of imagination plays a vital role in the place of prayer. All right. Your heart should align with your words. Your heart should align with your words. And one of the things that helps this to happen is meditation. In fact, sometimes it is advised that you take a moment to meditate before you pray. Meditate on the thing. You know, we always tell people, find scripture. And that's important because very many people don't even have a verse. Right, they don't have any assurance from God, so nothing they are holding on to that tells them, this is what I believe, this is why I believe it. They don't have a verse, so please get a verse, all right? There must be something in God's word you're holding on to. You're mirroring back to God in prayer and saying, Father, I believe XYZ would happen because you said in your word XYZ, you said in your word XYZ, you said in your word XYZ. So you find a verse, all right? But haven't found the verse. If it's not, now I know certain prayers are, you know, immediate, you know, emergency, I need to pray, and that's fantastic. But I'm saying when you know you have a bit of time to pray about the thing, you could take a day or two and meditate. You could solidify the thoughts. That verse, just read through, think through, read through, think through, read through, think through, and assure yourself. And if you can't do so much of it before, like I said, Ken Hagin also mentioned, do it after. Once you say, in the name of Jesus, I believe, I receive, somewhat in that day, get that, look at that verse again. You must have looked at it before, please, and then look at it again and stay on it. Don't forget, he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed. Most times we want to pray and say, well, I'll pray, let the prayer solve the problem. No. Whose mind is stayed? Oh God, I'm always worried. I'm always bothered. Whose mind is stayed? So this whole week, all right, up until Saturday, we're going to be learning the power of meditation, the importance of it, the how about it, the power. Oh glory. And this is exciting. Praise God. So we're still in James chapter 1, verse 6, 7, and 8. And 6 says, but let that man, whoever is asking, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, because he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea being, you know, driven and tossed. 7, let not that person who is wavering think that he will receive anything from the Lord. But I ask, know the state of your mind. Let not that, am I healed? The pain. Oh, the tumor is getting bigger. The lump is getting bigger. Oh, the doctor said. Oh, the doctor didn't say. Oh, no, solidify your heart. Solidify. There are too many prayer meetings. We need to have meditation meetings. There are too many prayer hours. We need to have moments of, I need to solidify. Solidify my heart. Solidify my heart. Solidify my heart. You don't pray against the spirit of fear most times, because really, yeah, there's a place of, I cast it out, I resist it in that context, yes. But you find out what really deals with fear in the life of a believer is when you solidify your heart with faith and the perfected love. Because it is the perfect love that casts out fear, not prayer in that context. Hope you understand what I'm saying. You could keep resisting the spirit of fear. I resist you. I resist you. I resist you. But Jesus even said that, listen, if you cast out demons from a place, they will try and come back. If they find the place empty, they will come back stronger. So you don't just cast something out and not fill up the space. You fill up the space with understanding the love that God has for you. It is perfected love that casts out fear. All right? It is a heart filled with faith that neutralizes fear. Oh, but someone says, I'm afraid, lay hands on me. No. Everything is not laying on our hands. I believe solidly in the laying on our hands. I believe solidly in impartations. But we've unconsciously now given to very many things the simple place that belongs to meditation. I mean, Joshua chapter 1 is classic. So Joshua takes over from the great man Moses. Who wants to ever take over from Moses? A leader who could split the Red Sea. Yeah, we know God did it, but God didn't do it through Aaron or anybody else. It was Moses. A leader who could bring water from the rock. Food fell from the sky. That kind of leader, you don't want to take over from him. So Joshua has to take over from Moses. And then you notice the lines, all right? God has to begin by telling Joshua, now Moses, my servant, is there. That's Joshua chapter 1. And then God goes further to say, be strong and very courageous. Only be thou strong and very courageous. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. Have I not said to you, be strong and very courageous? So you find God saying that a couple of times between the first and like the 10th verse or so. But verse 8, God says, listen to this. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You will meditate in it day and night. All right. This will help you to observe, to do according to all that is written therein. And then you will be able to make your way prosperous. You will have good success. I mean, of all the advices, more than advice, really, of all the instructions God could give to Joshua, of all of the instructions, God said, meditate. No. God, tell him something else. Tell him, Joshua, go on a 40-day fast. Joshua, come on the mountain and spend time with me like Moses did. Hope you realize that that didn't happen. Should I say that again? That didn't happen. God could have said, come on the mountain, spend 40 days, my son. You know, come, you know, God could have said, God said, guy, meditate. Meditate. Put this thing in your heart. I've said a lot through Moses. You need to pick them up and store them in your heart. And God said, then you, not I, you will make your way prosperous. You will have good success. So this is important for every one of us. All right, for you, for me. I just believe that this series will be quite helpful because of the number of things we've had to deal with last week and a few, you know, responses, feedback, comments that I got. Okay, you know, God has helped me learn this. I'm still needing to dig deeper, you know. But hey, we could learn some more together. Glory, glory, glory to God. So, still in that James 1, all right? So, I just read the 7th and the 8th verse again. Let not that man think he'll receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is stable in all his ways. How is he double-minded? His mouth is saying something, his heart is going to the area. His mind, his mouth is saying, his heart is going again somewhere else. So, his mind is dancing, you know, between options. Could he be this? Could it be that? I believe I receive my healing, but you know, maybe God just wants me to go through this for a little while. Double-minded. I believe I receive my healing. But I'm just tired. Won't I just die like this? You're being double-minded. So it says that state, all right, would not allow us receive from God. Now, what about, you know, the principle that says that faith could be in my heart and doubt could be running in my head? Yes, that's not double-mindedness. And what's that principle, in case someone's wondering, what was that? What did you say? All right. So it's basically the place of me believing I've received from God, but doubts are coming to want to pull me off what I've believed. So there's a different thing that doubts are coming. You know, it's different from I have entertained the doubts and say, it's true. It's true. Maybe it won't work. That one is now double-mindedness. But when it's coming, are you sure you're going to get it? Are you sure you're going to get it? Are you sure you're going to get it? That's doubt trying to come in. It's not in yet. Please note that every thought you have is not always your thought. All right? Every thought you have. I mean, how does God speak to us? He speaks by that gentle voice most of the time, but it comes as a thought. It just comes like a suggestion into your mind. How do temptations come? They also come like thoughts and suggestions. So sometimes you wonder, how could I have thought of something so ungodly? It wasn't you. It was suggested, yet through your flesh sometimes, so which could be your old way system, mind things picked over time. You know, it wasn't you. So you need to learn to cast down the imagination. The same way we need to learn to recognize, could this be God, you know, sending this thought to me? So every first thought that comes is not always yours. So when the doubt comes, it doesn't mean you are doubting. Because the devil will send doubts, or he knows that the doubt is rising, then he follows it up and says, and you believe you're receiving, right? You believe you've received, and then you're doubting. He said, no, devil, I'm not doubting anything. I believe I receive, I stay on God's word. I believe I receive, I stay on God's word. So we've got to learn that this principle, this practice of meditation, it's important. It is God's idea. All right? We find it through scripture. I'm going to mention it, you know, here and there as we go on. In fact, Jesus taught it well. All right, Jesus taught it well. The parable of the sower, we can pick meditation from it clearly, and I'll teach you all that, so that we see and realize that there is a hearing of the word, but there's the implanting of the word into our heart, that it may bear fruit. Don't forget, the parable of the sower talked about people hearing the word, they heard it, but it was those sown on good ground. So how do we get it on good ground? Because our heart represents, you know, the ground rather represents the heart of man. So it's important to see this. And then we need to learn the place of meditation versus worry. Meditation versus and imagination. All right? How do these things work? Because how do I meditate and meditate effectively? How? But as we close, two quick types of meditation people are used to. Now I know people are used to the first rather than the second. And the first really is when you spend time with 1, 2, 3 verses or a chapter in the Bible to pull out the juice from it, to get the light inside it. I'm meditating on the word of God. You know, and then, you know, while I was meditating, I saw that, you know, what this verse really means is this, and what this verse really means is that. And that's beautiful. It's good. I should talk a bit about it too. But the other part, which is the one I'm talking about, is when you pick the word for transformation. All right, you say you don't have a job. Pick a verse in the Bible, meditate on it, the job will come. All right, your health is bad. Pick a verse in the Bible and stay on it till your health completely is renewed. So we're going to deal. This is exciting already, all right? This exciting. Let me know what you feel about this. You could drop comments here or send them across, you know, other platforms. But just please, just let me know how you think about this series. I believe it is wonderful. I believe you should just get out, share this gist with everybody, and have a glorious day. See you tomorrow. Be just like a child, staring at the beauty of our King. May we never lose our wonder. May we never lose our wonder. Wide-eyed and mystified, may we be just like a child, staring at the beauty.